interrupt this program? Wait a sec. We haven't even started. Can I interrupt a program that we haven't even? It's Giving Tuesday, which means I'm breaking in because it's a super important day of giving for Fortis Institute and really for every ministry. Year-end giving is so crucial. And I would like to invite you on this day when your gift can be doubled because we've got a match giving campaign going to help us enter 2026 strong. 2025 was a bang-up year. The Lord blessed our efforts, more TV and radio networks, more social media, the Roku, the Fire TV, distributing hundreds of thousands of pieces of gospel literature. We went to 4 campuses. Next year, we want to go to 12. Will you help us go? Will you help us grow on this Giving Tuesday? We'd be super grateful for your support. Would you please consider doing that at fortisinstitute.org/donate. Take it away, pal.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Wretched Radio. While we may not be as popular as what you're currently listening to in the background, at least we're real, cause this ain't.
Lord, I'm tired from all this stressing. Too weak to count my blessings. Ain't got time for window dressing. Just trying to keep my soul in.
Well, he sings rather well.
I've been running hard, feet on.
What's your critique?
Dreams and duty tangled in wire. But when my strength starts slipping away, I still hear your voice.
He ain't real.
Don't grow weary.
That's the problem. What you're hearing is being sung by something without, you know, a spirit, without being an actual image bearer of God, without actually singing from the heart, which is exactly what the Lord doesn't request, demands when it comes to worship. Don't know if you heard the news, but the number one song on the Billboard chart and on the contemporary worship chart was by one Solomon Ray. You were just hearing it. Now, the lyrics, by the way, some of them aren't actually horrible. When, I know that wasn't like a great compliment, but really, some of them, it's like, okay, I see what you're doing here. So, for instance, here are the lyrics to a song that a computer wrote. Are they bad? No, not necessarily. Let me see if I can do them justice. Yeah. See, here's what I'm confused about. Let me just...
You sure it's not human?
No, I'm just... You sure it's not Hillsong?
Yeah.
What gets me about this is it begins by saying, yeah, and then it's in parentheses. It has 2 mm-mms. Is that the background singers?
I think that's
okay. So let me just, I'll try to do it better this time. Yeah, devil came knocking on my front door. Jimmy, sing it with me. Thank you. Told me lies I done heard before, but my heart doesn't answer like it used to before. Insert 3 mms right there. Because I found the truth. Yeah, I found the truth. Now I don't shake when the storm winds blow. My roots run deep in that holy flow. Ah, there's some of that language that got introduced into mainstream evangelicalism back in the 90s. Grace done caught me, cleaned me whole. Okay. Now I'm walking in freedom, yeah, body and soul. So say goodbye to temptation. You no longer have control. Yeah, I'm dead to all my sin and now alive in Christ alone. Oh, I'm free, free in Christ alone. I can live with that. Can't you? Well, the answer is, I think, raises a different question. Should we be listening to lyrics sung by a computer? is this really what worship is? Now, here has been the historical argument about churches, good churches, Bible-teaching churches, that will welcome music that has been written by a less than orthodox worship team. And they'll say, but the lyrics are good. All right. Well, if that's the case, these lyrics are good. The argument, I think, will be, therefore, it is okay to participate in AI worship. You can sing along with this. You can bring this into your church. It can be your Sunday morning spectacle because, hey, the lyrics are good. Does that argument hold? I don't think that it does. I think that this would be a very revealing failure to understand what worship actually is. Now, we all understand Romans 12, 1 and 2. Worship is your entire life, that it is an entire, everything you do is a sacrifice to God, offered up as worship to glorify him because you are a royal priest. You are a saint. So everything you do, your entire life should be an act of worship. Now, we use the term worship typically these days just to mean singing, and that's how we're going to use it here. Should we be worshiping being led by a non-human? The lyrics are fine. The lyrics are not my cup of tea in the way that I would express things, but they're using poetic language to say that you're dead to your sin. You're alive in Christ. That's an excellent message. What's the problem? It fails to understand what worship is. And that worship is something that we should understand as the human being, which is the highest creation in God's creative order, doing what only humans can do, and that is to communicate with clarity and with language. By the way, Jimmy, I was sorry for the brain synapse, but there was a story in, it was Portland, I think. It might have been Portland. They no longer call it the Christmas tree lighting. It's just called the tree.
Oh,
we just took the word out. It's the tree lighting. And somebody, the woman who was up there talking about, you know, why it's terrible that Christians are Christians and all that, and why it's a tree. And she said, because it's women up here on the platform, there's no shocker there. They sang Strong, Strong Woman. I think that's what it was called. Strong, Strong Woman. Well, there's about 18 versions of it. And one of them was from apparently some sort of, I don't even know what the right terminology is. Commanders? No, that's not it. Native Americans that wrote a song. And if you think, is repetitive and not very clever, way ho, 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 way, way, ho, ho, way, 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 ho, ho, way, way, ho, way, way, ho, ho, way, way, ho, ho, ho. Repeat 17 times. So maybe it's some sort of worship song. The point is that ain't great communication. That isn't lofty language. It is only we humans that can clearly communicate. We have verb tenses. We understand that based on how you use the same root word, it can have a different meaning about when an event took place. Is the event completed? Did the event actually have ongoing effects? Is this something that is still happening right now? Is it going to happen in the future? Only we humans can communicate like that, no matter what the scientists tell us about observing the bonobo monkey who seems to communicate just like we do. No, only human beings communicate at this level. Now, worship offered to the highest being in the universe from the highest form of his creation using something that is exclusively human communication should be done in the most lofty way possible. What is that way? That would be poetry. It's not just straightforward. It is something that has meter. It has rhyme. That's what worship is intended to be. The highest, offering the highest form of communication to the highest being. Now add to that accompaniment, that you put instrumentation with it. I'm sorry. The bonobos are nice to watch in a zoo. Actually, I don't like watching monkeys in a zoo. I don't like zoos at all. That's a digression. They don't do the things that we do. Only we can offer these things up. Only we can sing to God thoughts from our heart about him set to a communication form that is high and lofty and unique, accompanied by musical instrumentation. That's what worship is supposed to be. And it's supposed to be something that can only be done by those who have, you know, an eternal soul. I know somebody might say, well, Jesus could command the rocks to cry out. Well, that's true. And does all of creation worship God? Yes, in that, when you look at the creation, you see something that the Creator made and you go, wow, he's amazing. Look at that zebra, those stripes. I mean, wow. How clever and creative is that? How amazing is the Creator? So in that sense, they reflect his creative hand and therefore they worship him, but they ain't singing. Yeah, they aren't singing poetry. They aren't offering it from the heart. That is only what human beings can do when it comes to worship. And so now we've got the number one worship song in the country being written and performed. It's funny, too, because you go to the YouTube machine, I'm looking at the video. It's a dude. I mean, they've actually got a human being here. He's probably AI, too. It's a black fellow. He's got a beard and a hat on his head. And he's sitting in a church and he's looking kind of worshipful. He's pixels, not even people. And so we're going to get ready. This was number one, Billboard and iTunes, when it comes to Christian worship. We're going to see more and more of this. In fact, that's one of my predictions for 2026. Church is going to have to wrestle with this stuff. With AI, I think is going to become a bigger issue. Not just worship, but sermon writing. It's going to become a thing. You know who can write a sermon? A human, period. Not AI, a human. You know who can write worship? A human. Not AI. You know who can sing worship? Not AI, a human. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. We made a decision. We're going to trust God to provide through faithful partners who believe in this mission. We'd rather give everything away and trust Him than hold back truth because someone just can't afford it. And it's working. 300,000 Play the Men booklets distributed on campuses. 3 incredible campus visits. Millions of views on YouTube. Our podcasts are in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford's new book was released in 600 radio stations, 120 TV networks, all carrying our programming. And the Fortis Plus app? Well, it's on every streaming platform. Right now, every gift you give through the end of the year is matched dollar for dollar. Just go to FortisInstitute.org right now and make your gift count. Double your impact today. Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith. That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose.
Important dates in Christian history. 1646. The Westminster Confession is drafted in the Jerusalem room at Westminster Abbey. The confessions were drafted by an assembly of Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and Independents, and became the foundation of Reformed theology throughout Europe and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Methinks I may have spoken too soon. This is Wretched Radio, and this is, air quotes, Solomon Ray.
Sun's up, I'm smiling slow. Pour that brew, let the blessings flow. Steam rising, faith on 10. Here we go again. Take a sip, take a breath. Ain't no rush, no stress. Got the good book by my side, and that peace I can't hide. To me, Jesus and my coffee. That's
yeah.
All I need to start my day.
Okay.
No matter what's out there waiting, my worries fade away. He fills my cup, he warms my soul.
Oh, coffee puns.
Oh, yeah, me, Jesus and my coffee. Everything. Okay.
Hey, Jimmy, don't forget, too, you get to read the verses that talk about God grinding you to powder. See what I did right there? Yeah, yeah. You know what? You know what would be the best book to read while listening to this worship song written by an AI machine?
What's that?
Hebrews. You know, I've been thinking.
It took me a minute.
That was, yeah, that was it. That was it. The coffee, but this is like, let us pray with a head of lettuce. You know, that. I think I figured it out, Jimmy. I think that I figured out. This is why I don't think that this type of AI singing is going to be acceptable for long. It might be novel at the moment that the number one worship song is written by a non-human being, sung by a non-human being. It's all just computer generated. What you're hearing, this is not a human. It's all fake. And while we might go, oh, isn't that cool? This is what I think will allow us to predict whether or not this trend flourishes or fizzles out. Journey. I'm not talking about a cool new church. I'm talking about the band Journey. What made Journey? So, Jimmy, do you even know who Journey is while you were slinging your country music disc? Do you know who Journey is?
I do know who Journey is.
All right. They did Christian music too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That would, in fact, oh no. We actually have a Journey worship song. Looky what I found.
Laodicea Records presents the next album in the classic rock worship series, Journey Worship.
Faithfully, see? Got the word faith in it.
Lift your hands to heaven as you surrender to God in worship, led by Journey.
Oh.
Go back to your youth as Steve Perry reminds us to have faith like a child. Ecclesiastes says, the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. Journey will help you to keep on believing the gospel. Come on a journey. Pick up your copy today.
At Laodicea Records. You know what made that kind of fun? It was written by a human. It was presented by a human. And the music was sung by a human. And that is why I think Journey proves that this trend of AI-produced music, it ain't going to work. What made listening to Journey so amazing? The dude's chops. It was the ability of a human to possess an attribute or a gift that most do not, that is pleasing to the ear. Oh, okay, it would be sort of, I think it's similar to athletic competitions. Would you like, whatever your favorite sport is, we're just going to assume football because that's the season we're in. Do you want to watch a bunch of robots play football? So that you can go, hey, that one team designed a better robot than the other. No, you want to see human achievement. You want to see human accomplishment. You want to see human effort. You want to see the dedication that went into performing like that so that you can be wowed by it. And I don't think that AI is going to be able to do that for you. And when I listen, by the way, to this Billy Ray Solomon Ray fellow, I know he ain't hitting these notes. I can tell. Just listen. His high notes, they're too easy. Even though it sounds like, hey, you're kind of getting to the top of the human range, it just sounds too easy. Listen for it.
Bills do, phone won't quit, but I ain't losing joy one bit. Turn that radio nice and loud. Sing my praises proud. I got joy in my cup, yeah, love in my hand. A little bit of heaven when the day begins. Can't nobody steal my groove when I start my day with you. Me, Jesus, and my...
Do you hear it? It's just too easy. Because you can program the thing to hit any... Now, this they could actually jump an octave, and it would still sound sort of like kind of a human, but it's not. And that is why, here's my... I'm getting a word. This is my prediction for 2026. I think the AI worship thing is going to fizzle. Now, this I also would predict. That doesn't mean that worship songs aren't going to be written by AI. I don't think they're going to be performed by AI, but I think that evangelicalism will accept that they were written by AI, especially when musicians find a way to skirt around being transparent. They use AI heavily and then claim they wrote it. You know, sort of like students do with university papers. They claim they wrote it, but they really didn't. I don't think that the singing is going to last, but the writing, the songwriting will. And I fear that that trend is going to continue also with preaching, that pastors are going to use it more and more to cheat. I just used AI for something last night. I was getting ready for bed, and I was thinking about the sermon for next week, and I was thinking, okay, what? I had a question about something. So I fired up my computer real quick, went to the AI machine and asked it, like, whatever the thing was, just so that I could, like, go to sleep with that, thinking about that verse. Would you like me to take that verse and turn it into a 3-point sermon for you? What? What? Now it's just flat out asking me, would you like me to do this for you? Because I suspect my AI now knows what I'm up to. I never ask it really anything other than... And he's sort of, I'm looking for a quote, I'm looking for a reference, I'm looking for a statistic. That's all it knows is theology. But it's actually asking me if it would like me to write my sermon for me. How many pastors are going to be able to resist that temptation for long? I don't think many, honestly. I don't think many. Because sermon writing takes a lot. It takes a lot. And that is why I think that there's just going to be more and more cheating that takes place, and the AI sermon writing is going to continue, and I think it's going to lose its power. I think preaching loses its power. I don't know that I can cite chapter and verse to make this claim, but I'm going to anyway. What gives a sermon unction? What gives a sermon power? Now, you and I would correctly state it's the power of the Holy Spirit working with the proclamation of his word. Amen. But what about the writing of that sermon? What about the prayer that goes into that sermon, the study that goes into that sermon, the thought that goes into that sermon? If those components are removed for the sake of expediency, will that sermon have any oomph? Or will it just be, clever? Hey, our pastor's organization got so much better lately. Have you noticed? His sermons are more clear, perhaps. But I don't think they can have as much power, because that's not what a sermon is supposed to be. It is a human creation. And I think that we can use the AI to help us do the human work. But as soon as, and I know you're going to say, well, where's that line? Well, where's the line on plagiarism? Well, I get it. It's a little tricky to define. It actually is, because in a sense, we all plagiarize to varying degrees, because it's knowledge that we've gained throughout the years and we don't cite the source of it. But that's a far cry from, you know, a pastor who assembles a team of people to concoct a sermon and have everybody write it and slap it together. And that's certainly different than having a computer put together your sermon outline or even write the sermon. I'll bet I could put into AI this Bible, 1 Peter 1, 1 through 3. Deliver a sermon in the style of Phil Johnson. I want the manuscript, 5,000 words. I'll bet it would take seconds to do it. Seconds. Let's say Phil Johnson did that and he delivered it. And while people might go, well, that was nice, I don't think it'll have the power of the word that he prepared for that group of people, because it was done by a human being, which was also an act of worship unto God. Sermon writing should be an act of worship. Lord, I'm doing this for you so that your people will be fed and you will be glorified. And when we remove that element, I don't think we have preaching anymore, and we most certainly don't have worship anymore. The AI trend, for better, for worse, I think it's going to be a bigger deal in 2026, at least for those who care. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. We begin today at the University of Oklahoma, where there's an investigation currently ongoing because one student offered an essay that defends biblical sexuality, and that essay earned her 0 points from a transgender graduate assistant. Samantha Fulnecki is her name. She responded to this assignment on gender norms by arguing what we call gender roles are simply the outworking of God's design for men and women. Nothing that most of us would disagree with, but her professor, who's a biological male, accused her work of being offensive and ideological. The professor has been removed pending investigation, but you'll notice even the New York Post coverage can't help but calling him her. Meanwhile, in New York City, incoming socialist mayor Zohran Mamdani just appointed a transgender rabbi to his transitions team's health committee. You really can't even keep up with what's real and what's not anymore. Moving on, the threats against ICE agents have reached fever pitch, with a Portland radical now facing charges for threatening to kill federal immigration officers and sexually assault their wives. John Paul Cupp is his name. He told authorities that he's, quote, Osama bin Laden and Timothy McVeigh, both of them, apparently. Secretary Noem isn't backing down. She's called for a full travel ban on countries she says has been flooding our nation with killers, leeches, and entitlement junkies. Her recommendation follows President Trump's pause on asylum claims from 19 countries after an Afghan national allegedly killed a National Guardsman in Washington. Speaking of the president, he just declared that any document Joe Biden signed with an auto pen is null and void, which by Trump's account eliminates roughly 92% of Biden's executive actions. The Heritage Foundation's oversight project found that Biden's December 2022 pardons, including those for Fauci, General Miley, and the January 6th committee, and Biden's family members, bore identical auto pen signatures while Biden vacationed in the Virgin Islands. A new poll from NBC reveals that just 33% of registered voters think a bachelor's degree is worth the cost. That's a 20-point drop since 2013, and it's really hard to blame them when nearly 10% of recent college graduates are unemployed and racking up tens of thousands in debt. And down under, an Australian police officer was just found guilty of dangerous driving, occasioning death. What did he do? Well, he parked his car in the path of a 16-year-old riding a stolen trail bike. The officer placed his vehicle at the end of the bike path, knowing the teen was speeding toward it. The teenager crashed and died from his injuries. The judge ruled that the officer should have known this posed a serious risk. Apparently, stopping criminals is now criminal itself. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. 2 Corinthians is Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, written about 1 year later. Since Paul had last written, some false apostles had snuck in and began to question Paul's authority. There are many who claim authority in the church, but those called by Christ will bear the marks of Christ, which are humility and reliance upon Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You're listening to this year's winner of the Christian Radio Program Segway Award winner competition thing. probably have something like that in Nashville. This is Wretched Radio. Not to show off with our segues, but we were talking about worship music and preaching that is literally being outsourced to AI. We're letting computers write what only humans should be offering to God. What's just amazing to me is that we're having a debate about it. Should this really? Is this hard? Really? It reminds me, I think it was in Texas a number of years ago. There was an old, probably very crusty, and I'm sure he was a white heterosexual Christian male who was talking. He wanted to have laws for appropriate attire in public. And of course, the liberals were just, oh, you can't tell people what to wear. And the question was asked of him, well, how do you know what's inappropriate? And his answer was, you just know. And that is exactly how we should be responding to this AI thing. It's like, we just know. Yeah, it can write stuff really well. It can. The number one song in Christian worship is written by a computer, performed by a computer. Now, of course, it can do those things well. And in a lot of regards, better than humans, but it's not human. And therefore, it can't actually do it. In other words, this worship song and this worship singer, it's Rich Little. It's nothing but an impersonation of a human being, but an impersonation ain't the real thing. And that means an impersonated sermon, an impersonated worship song, it ain't real. And this should be intuitive to us where it's like, no, that's dumb. We're not going to do that. We're the cream of the creative crop. We're not going to let them take our role and do what they can't even do. So this worship song that we heard, it wasn't a worship song. Wasn't. Because it's not real. Any more than the microphone stand I'm looking at is a worship leader. Well, I could probably get it. I could hold it up and I could move it around so it can look like a worship leader. As long as, of course, I can get it to raise its hands over its head ecstatically. The point is, it can't. Because it isn't. And this should be a no-brainer. Outsourcing our sermons and our worship. Jimmy, did I hit the word outsourcing enough?
Yeah, I think so.
Headline, Christians, don't outsource your obedience just because Gavin Newsom found a Bible verse. See the segue right there? I use the same word. Maybe I should have put that in AI and come up with something better. This was a really helpful article from Peter Heck. Apparently, Gavin Newsom, no shocker to anybody, he's going to be running for president. I think that seems pretty obvious. And suddenly, he's quoting the Bible more. Huh. Isn't that fascinating? Well, he knows progressives aren't going to go anywhere. Now, he's not going to be quoting Bible verses that actually convict. So he's not going to be quoting Bible verses that actually have some sting to them that, like, okay, he's never going to get up in front of a group and say, hey, we're here because we just experienced another earthquake in California and it's a tragedy, but this is what Jesus said, that unless you repent, you will likewise perish. He's not going to quote that verse. Instead, what is he going to quote out of context? Social gospel, nothing but saving the planet, loving the mother, and unbiblical welfare programs. And those won't offend those on the left, but it's designed to kind of ear tickle those that are in the center and maybe just slightly rhino-ish to the right. Peter Heck reminding us, don't know. He's not a theologian. And he doesn't know what he's talking about. And yet there will be people persuaded by the verses that he used, because it's not that God never talks about taking care of the poor, making sure that justice is distributed, that justice is executed equally. He is intrigued by those things. Now, is that a major theme of the Bible? I don't think it's a major theme. It's not a theme, but I hear a lot of theologians, liberals, saying it's a major theme in the Bible. Well, I'm sorry, Malachi, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Yeah, that's a verse. Yep, there are definitely psalms where God, he's very angry. Jimmy, would you look for the psalms that where God warns the people, hey, don't execute justice inequitably. He doesn't like it. Now, there's one for sure that is like, that's what the psalm is about. But that's out of 150 psalms. That doesn't make it a major theme in the psalms. Now, I'm not trying to use that to say that it is somehow diminished in its importance, but it is to say it's not a major theme as liberals purport. Gavin Newsom, this is actually the San Francisco Chronicle. The headline read, as Gavin Newsom's national profile grows, his rhetoric is getting more biblical. Caring for vulnerable children and orphans is so important and so big in the Bible. Well, caring for vulnerable children and orphans is so important. Is it so big in the Bible? Now, if you mean by big, is it a big deal to God? Yes, it is. But is it like just the gong that gets gonged over and over again in the Bible? No, it's not. We have the encouragement to take care of widows, to take care of orphans, to visit widows and orphans, that God has adoption as a picture of the gospel. It's a theological term. That's our relationship with God, adopted into his family. When we adopt, we are a reflection of the gospel. But is that just a big theme ongoing? No. No, it's not. Government programs, writes Peter Heck, do not fulfill the Christian obligation to love our neighbor. Because that's another quote from Gavin Newsom. Hey, you got to love your neighbor. So he's using the Bible to say, you need to get on board for government funding of programs that support people. Jimmy, did you find that psalm by any chance?
There are several.
Give me the best one that you think is reflective.
So Psalms 82, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?
Yep.
Psalm 72, he will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice.
Yeah.
Shall the throne of wickedness frame injustice by statute?
So there's a number of references to it, but there's one in particular that repeats the refrain, I think, a little bit more. It's not the entirety of the psalm, but I think it's most of the psalm. Because, yeah, that is important. He doesn't like injustice. He hates that, and we should too. I'm simply saying that when people say it's a big, it's all over the Bible. No, that's just not accurate. Say it's a big deal to God, and I amen that. But these aren't theologians, needless to say. So regarding Trump's denial of climate change, he's calling it anti-Christian. Quote, it's an affront to God, not my word. Those are the words of the Pope. Well, those aren't the words of God. In the spirit of Isaiah, we want to be repairers of the breach. Oh, he's quoting Isaiah 58:12. What is that verse talking about? Rebuilding broken walls and the ruins of Israel has nothing to do with the climate. Peter Heck does a nice job. What caused the devastation? It wasn't mismanagement of natural resources, nor was it failure to give trillions of tax dollars to the government to fight the weather. In Isaiah 58:12, God tells Israel that they become an affront to him for sacrificing, read aborting in our context, their children, sexual liberty, burn with lust under every spreading tree, sacrifices to a plurality of false gods and religions, love of alcohol, oppression of the poor, and exploitation of labor. Well, there's another verse right there, exploitation of people. Governor Newsom says, no, this is about repairing the environment. Sorry, sir. You can't take a verse out of context. What do we expect? I mean, seriously, what do we expect from a Gavin Newsom? Nevertheless, this is why perhaps the most important hermeneutical principle is context, context, context. Read the entire verse. You could tag Governor Newsom on this, because there's people who are going to hear and go, oh, the Bible says we're supposed to be repairers of the breach. Okay, then how much do we give to this program? Now, here, just kind of an accounting note. If you're in Minnesota and Tim Walz, he wants to use a Bible verse to promote, so to fund some sort of welfare program or for some sort of program that is supposedly about human flourishing, make sure you put at least another $1 billion on it for the Somalian graft, because that's got to kind of come off the top of the whole thing, which is another reason why government programs are not giving. Next on Wretched Radio.
You know as well as I do, college campuses are battlegrounds. They always have been. Ideas clash, worldviews compete, and somewhere in the middle, students are trying to figure out what's actually true. This year, Fortis Institute showed up. 3 campus visits where we shared the gospel and equipped students to think clearly. Also, 300,000 Play the Man booklets put directly into the hands of students, giving them tools to push back against the lies they're hearing in classrooms. And look, it's working. Students are waking up. They're asking questions. They're realizing there's another way to think about masculinity, about their faith, and about truth itself. But 3 campuses aren't enough. Next year, we're planning to visit 12 campuses. And also, Todd's new book, Go Serve Your King, releases with HarperCollins next year as well. And here's the opportunity you have right now. Every gift you give through the end of the year is matched. Dollar for dollar match up to $500,000. Your donation literally doubles. FortisInstitute.org. Give now and watch your gift double today.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Lexicon. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and He is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Segways Are Us. No, we're not actually finished. This is Wretched Radio. Governor Newsom quoting the Bible. Wow. He must not be as liberal as he obviously is. Well, no, he's actually just using the Bible, which in my estimation should cause the true Christian community to cry foul. How dare you? The question, if I were a reporter at a Governor Newsom press conference, sir, you've been quoting the Bible lately. Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, sufficient for all of life and godliness? Do you believe that the Bible is the only true word of God, which means Jesus Christ is the only Savior, which means Allah ain't a real God, and that Buddhism's eightfold path leads to destruction? Would you affirm that? Because you're quoting the book that says that. And this should be the type of thing where we say, how dare you? How dare you misquote our Bible for the sake of your political agenda? Peter Heck, I think he wrote this at Not the Bee, if I'm not mistaken, talking about the Bible verses that he uses to promote government programs for helping people, for feeding people. Now, it shouldn't need to be said, but in our current cultural environment, we will say it. Of course, Christians care. Of course, Christians don't want to see people starve. Of course, we have compassion for people. But there is a massive distinction between individual compassion and government welfare programs. There's just, they're not, it's A and B. They're not the same thing. And Governor Newsom likes to use Bible verses that talk about individual giving, individual acts of kindness, individual acts of being a good Samaritan, and saying that's about government programs. It's a category switcheroo. The Bible, this is from Peter Heck, the Bible's command is personal, not bureaucratic. The command is never, quote, from Matthew 14, 16, ensure Caesar expands the welfare state. No, instead, Jesus said what? You give them something to eat. You do it. Where you are, where you are able, you, because you have been fed, because you have been saved, because God has been kind to you, now go be kind to others. It's individual. It's not welfare state. The Good Samaritan did not pass the injured man and declare, "Poof, there must be a tax-funded program to care for men like this." No, he cared, he stopped, and he paid out of his own pocket. That's what true giving is. So Governor Newsom, sorry, you keep your hands off the Good Samaritan. It has nothing to do with the welfare program. Now, there is one thing about the welfare state that I think we should be challenged by. And that is, in the Old Testament, it isn't crystal clear, but it does appear there was some sort of welfare program in the nation of Israel. I believe it was a 2% poor tithe slash tax to take care of those who were poor. There was also the gleaning program. Now, they had to do work with it. That we understand, but it does appear that the nation of Israel would take care of those who couldn't take care of themselves. This is why, by the way, why family was so important back then. Family was so needed, because if you didn't have family and you couldn't work, you could die. You would just starve to death. So family was super crucial. Nevertheless, for those that didn't have that, they did have welfare programs. They did have some way of taking care of those corporately. I think we can't throw that out. That's got to be there. So what do I do with that? Well, I'll tell you how I kind of harmonize it. And that is, I think the government can have assistance programs for those who are in actual need. But we have other Bible verses that talk about not just providing for people who are not willing to work, who are not willing to contribute to the society, that aren't willing to take care of their families, or people who are making decisions that are so horrific, so consistently, that they're actually detrimental to themselves and to society. So I do think that we can have be okay with a government that says, hey, we want to do something to help that particular group of people. Now, the question, of course, is who is that particular group of people? I would suggest to you it is wildly lower than the currently, what is it, 45% of all of Americans are on some sort of welfare program? 45%. And some of those are actually Americans. I'm kidding you with the immigration joke right there. That seems to me to be a bloated welfare program. And if you've got able-bodied individuals who are simply taking money off of the dole from those who are working hard, that's a bad well. That's an unbiblical welfare program. That's not biblical. Back to Peter Heck. James doesn't say religion that is pure is lobbying Rome for a better social safety net and supporting politicians who agree. No, you visit widows and orphans in their distress. That is what Christian charity is. Personal. He then writes, government assistance is not the fruit of the Spirit. When the government takes money before you can even see it hit your bank account because it takes it before you get your paycheck, that would change everything if it would make people actually pay their taxes after they already received what they'd actually earned. Nevertheless, when the government takes money to distribute it to others as they see fit, that's not fruit of the Spirit. That's compulsion. Fruit of the Spirit is I want to give. I want to help these people. I want to do things because I've been shown so much kindness myself. Supporting welfare programs is not biblical generosity. Campaigning for those who offer subsidies is not compassion. A tax withholding is not a tithe. Giving is from the heart. Isn't that what Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9? God wants you to give from the heart. Taxes are not giving from the heart. It's forced giving is what it is. It's compulsory. You don't have a choice in the matter. God wants cheerful givers. Number three, the danger of letting Caesar define compassion. Politicians who redefine scripture to bless state power is, well, dangerous because we can begin to subconsciously outsource, there's our segue word, outsource obedience. It's like, I don't have to give. I don't have to be kind. I don't have to be charitable. The government's got this. That's a temptation. I would be shocked if there were many people who said, well, I've never thought about it that way, where we never thought, you know, those people that perhaps genuinely need help, maybe we've passed by saying, well, they've got all kinds of programs that they could be involved in. Now, again, going back to my opinion that a government can have some sort of safety net program for people who actually qualify because they actually are not capable of providing for themselves. I think I can live with that biblically, but I want to be careful if it's a broader program that causes me to neglect being compassionate myself. Why sacrifice personally when the government is taking care of the job? Why give joyfully when the IRS will compel giving anyway? I would be generous if I had to be, but the government, they force me to give anyway. So my bases are covered because I have to. That's the danger of bloated government welfare programs. And that is the danger of those politicians who misuse Bible verses to somehow sanctify socialism. Hey, that was kind of tweetable right there. They use Bible. That is a pretty good tweet. Shame on politicians who use Bible verses to sanctify socialism. Huh?
That's good.
Pretty good?
Yeah, I'm tweeting it right now.
Yeah, please. Thank you for that. That's
taking all credit.
That's why we're here. Hey, speaking of giving, did I mention yet that it's that time of year when you can give from your heart to ministries? That really do need your support at this time of year. This is the big time of giving. And I know you have demands. I get it. We all feel it. And we all feel the economy. I'm waiting for that golden era because it sure doesn't feel like it when we go to the grocery store or want to even think about going out to eat. Zoink, Scoob. So if you can't, don't. Giving isn't compulsory, not even tithing. You give what you can, you give what you want to, first to your local church. But should you happen to have abundance after that, I promise you, we will not be a California welfare program. We will work hard for the money. We will work hard to make sure that every penny that you entrust to us is used to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a match campaign. It's year-end giving, and we'd be grateful. FortisInstitute.org/donate. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.